Purple by Ted Albury, with Michael Melia as Eddie Hoggart and Louise Germain as Jackie. The play begins in London during the mid-1980s.
Is that you, Dickie?
Yes, Bob.
Where are you?
I'm looking at Century House. I'm trying to get across the road.
Have you finished your report?
I have.
How long do you reckon it'll take for you to put me in the picture?
Oh, a couple of hours, something like that.
Fine by me. See you.
I'd better introduce myself. I'm Dickie Shaw, and I used to work in the building across the road, Century House. Century House is the headquarters of MI6, or SIS, as it's sometimes known. To those who worked there, it was generally called the firm. The people inside, like the staffs of any large government organization, are just people. There are flowers and vases in the typing pool. There are disputes about holiday rotas, rivalries, and even long-historied feuds. The most modern pieces of high technology still have to give way sometimes to no more than the hunch of an experienced man. There is loyalty and ambition, and sharp academic minds that probe the accumulated field wisdom of experienced agents. There are several scores of people who know more about what is going on in the world than most heads of government do. And there is a handful of people who know enough to bring to a messy end the careers of at least 50 public figures. Oh, excuse me a second. A taxi! Travelers Club, please.
Come in! Ah, Dickie. Make yourself comfortable. I took a room for us and they've left us sandwiches and a few bottles. Help yourself, we can eat while we talk. Ah, where on earth do we start?
Well, I'd better put you in the picture about Hoggart. What do you know about his background?
I understand that he's regarded as one of the best field operators that we have. Experienced, tough, and talented. That's about it.
Eddie Hoggart grew up with no father around, and a mother who was both violent and a drunk. She hated his guts. At 8 years old, the local authority had to take him over. He was put in an orphanage. He was uncontrollable, ran away regularly until one of the governors of the orphanage, an ex-army officer, took him in hand. Took him into his own home, brought Eddie up like he was his son. He got Eddie into the army, and about 5 years later, we recruited him.
Sounds like all's well that ends well.
Well, on the surface, yes, but underneath, no. I guess it all starts in Washington, at our embassy. Party to celebrate Thanksgiving Day.
I've never understood what Thanksgiving Day is all about.
It's a combination of Harvest Festival and a Buckingham Palace garden party.
Who is our ambassador?
Peter Bellamy.
I told them, none of this pop rubbish. We want something with a tune and words you can hear. Tell me, why do naval attaches always get the prettiest girls? I was so young, the girl, so cuddly and so sexy.
I think Chalmers is trying to attract your attention.
Huh? Oh, wave him over.
Got a private word, Ambassador.
Is that necessary?
I'm afraid so.
All right. What is it?
We've got a walk-in.
A what?
A walk-in, sir. A Russian defector.
Oh, for God's sake. Why couldn't the stupid bastard wait until we open tomorrow?
He's KGB, sir. Well, claims that he is.
Where is he?
We've put him in the annex with Cartwright.
What's the chap want?
Wants to see a senior intelligence officer.
Well, Cartwright's not one of them, is he now?
No, Your Excellency, but Pritchard wouldn't see him. Says it's not policy for these chaps to meet an intelligence officer until their bona fides have been established.
Why not, for heaven's sake?
Well, a walk-in could just be checking on the identities of our intelligence people.
Oh, that's more than I can do with the Foreign Office in cahoots with them half the time. What does Pritchard want us to do?
He suggests that the Russian has a preliminary debriefing with Miss Pollard.
That should teach the bastard a lesson. Well, if that's what Pritchard wants, I approve. But they don't do it here. They take him to one of their places. Make that very clear.
I'll do that, sir.
It's Mr. Yakunin, isn't it?
Yakunin, Igor.
Would you like something to eat, Mr. Yakunin? Or a drink, maybe?
No, thank you. Maybe later.
How can I help you?
You are intelligence officer.
No. that I am an embassy official. We felt I should talk to you first, just to make sure that we're in a position to help you.
It's me who helps you people, not you helping me.
Tell me.
I am a major in the KGB. I work for 1 year here in the United States, and I wish to defect to the British.
Where have you been working, Mr. Yakunin?
In Washington and in New York.
And what were you doing?
I have Canadian documents, and I have run two networks of agents in the United States.
Why didn't you talk to the CIA? Why us?
They are too clumsy, and the most important information I have concerns the British, not the Americans.
What kind of information is that?
I only talk about that when I'm sure of you people. I risk my life, you risk nothing.
We've put a room at your disposal for tonight, Mr. Yakunin. And I'll talk to my colleagues, and we can talk again tomorrow when you've had some sleep.
What did you think of him?
Well, he's tense, but I guess anybody would be tense doing what he's just done.
He could be a plant.
I'd still be tense if I was a plant. I'd wonder if I was going to be exposed, and what would happen to me if I were. What would happen to him?
Depends on how long it took us to rumble him.
Oh, he's going to be a difficult client.
What makes you think that?
Well, I'd say he's an arrogant man. A bit full of his own importance.
I fixed a car to take you back to the embassy. You must be tired.
Oh, thank you. What are you going to do with him?
London are checking on him. If he's positively identified, I'll fly over with him tomorrow. They'll take him over.
Will you have to stay?
No. I'm not a Russian speaker, and I'm not an interrogator either. And a debriefing can take months.
I'll see you when you get back, then. And I'd love to know how it all works out.
I refer you to Section 2 of the Official Secrets Act, my dear. My lot are very fussy about it.
Ah, yes. Saving it for their memoirs, no doubt.
Morning, Miss Hargett. Got your ID card, sir?
Of course. Here you are.
You've just signed the book, sir.
There we go. You got my key?
Mr. Fletcher's up there already, sir. Got in an hour ago.
Oh, good for him.
Hello, David.
Hi, Eddie. How's things?
Okay. Have you read this file on Barakoff, the suspect KGB guy at their trade mission?
Yeah, I've read it.
Do you remember the physical description?
More or less.
So what the hell does etiolated mean?
That's a bit of original Anthony Renshaw. He edited the report. It means, pale, wan, kind of washed out.
Jesus wept. Has he ever done any actual field work himself?
I don't think so. He had the usual training courses way back, but he's always been an administrator, looking after the likes of you and me.
How the hell do you get a job like that?
You have an old man who's head of a merchant bank. Then Eton, Balliol, a stint in the Foreign Office, Washington and Bonn. You speak fluent Russian. You are naturally charming. You mix with the top people who are all old family friends. And he's at arm's length. He doesn't get emotionally involved like we do. Somebody has to, you know. Are you taking over the Barakoff surveillance?
No. I'm working for Renshaw, doing my share of decrypting the last material from Needle. He says you're doing the second batch.
I'm going for a coffee. Do you want one?
Yeah, thanks. Same as usual. Half and half with two sugars.
Fletcher. Yes, he's here. Yes, sir. Speak of the devil. Tony Renshaw's compliments. Wonders if you could spare him a few minutes in his office.
Oh, do sit down, Eddie. Something's come up. A Soviet walk-in at our Washington embassy. He's been brought over here for check-in, and I'd like you to do it.
Where is he?
He's at the safe house in Lamberhurst. Don't know much about him. Our records show him born in 1936 in Smolensk. Parents missing in the war. He was brought up in an orphanage just outside Alma-Ata. There's nothing further until 1959, when his name came up as a militiaman. And then frontier police and 2 years at Moscow University. We don't know what he studied. Transferred to the KGB in 1964. All we've got after that is a promotion to captain in 1969. And there's no record of a marriage or family. And, Well, that's it, I'm afraid.
Oh, can I help you?
Hoggett, Century House. My ID. Where is he?
He's inside, upstairs in his room. Totally non-cooperative, bloody-minded, and constantly complaining.
About what?
That he's not being treated with the proper respect.
Oh, good. Good, he sounds ready for me. Mm. Which is his room?
Number 4, sir. The last on the left at the top of the stairs. Yours is the room opposite.
Mr. Yakunin? Would you prefer to speak in Russian or English, Mr. Yakunin?
Is okay with me either way.
Good. All right. Let's start in English and we can change over if it doesn't work out. I'm an intelligence officer and I'll be staying here at the house with you so that you can talk to me.
And after the talk?
Huh? I don't understand.
After the talk, will you and your people act on what I tell you?
Well, that's for others to decide. It depends on what you tell me.
You've got big problems in your organization.
Well, I mean, there are problems in the KGB, too.
Problems of traitors.
Who knows? Now, how about we get down to basics?
You are not interested in traitors.
Let's just do it bit by bit. We'll come to the traitors when we've established the groundwork. Right. Tell me about yourself and what you've been doing.
My name is Yakunin, Igor. I am major in KGB, First Directorate, Department S. I have been for several years an illegal in the United States.
Any family?
No, no family, no living relatives.
When were you recruited into the KGB?
Why do you ask me? You're sure to have some kind of file on me.
It's a standard procedure, Yakunin.
I am not interested in procedures. I have things to tell you. That is all that matters.
Do you regret going to our embassy in Washington?
Why do you ask, sir?
Because we can make arrangements for you to be sent anywhere you want. You came to us voluntarily. But if you changed your mind about having done that, now's the time to say so. But if you want to stay, you do it our way. You understand me? Right. Tell me what you studied at the university.
English and electronics.
You speak very good English. Were you as good at electronics?
Just enough to talk about it and to understand the answers to my questions.
Was it electronics you were covering in the United States?
That was the prime target area.
What was your cover?
German technical journalist.
What particular area of electronics did you cover?
Naval weapons control, guidance systems, and computers.
Who was your contact in the States?
Nobody. Just dead drops and radio instructions from Moscow.
Where's your radio?
I left it in the States.
In Washington?
No. A long way from Washington.
Is something worrying you, comrade?
It's you people. You're wide open to the KGB and you don't realize it. I don't want to end up face down in the Thames.
Mr. Yakunin, I've debriefed a number of Warsaw Pact defectors and I have never, ever come up against somebody with your attitude. Maybe you'd better think about your position overnight and make sure you wouldn't rather talk to the Americans or somebody else. Good night.
Go on about Yakunin.
Well, Yakunin had all the usual problems that Soviet defectors always have.
What kind of problem?
Well, they go from a closed and privileged group like the KGB, where they're important and respected. And they come over here and suddenly it's different. They're out of their environment. It's a strange country. They're important, but not in the same way. They wonder if they did the right thing. It takes a lot of courage to come over. And it takes a different kind of courage to go along with one's new circumstances. But eventually Hoggett broke through.
So, how did you like it in the States?
They gave me no problems.
Tell me about your networks.
There were no networks, just me alone and sometimes two others.
But you told them at the embassy in Washington that you ran two networks out of Canada.
Why should I tell that woman what I do?
Well, how about you tell me?
I ran John Walker. That was full-time operation.
Who was John Walker?
John Anthony Walker, late of Norfolk, Virginia, of the United States Navy, arrested by the FBI on May 20, 1985, and serving a life sentence for selling top-secret information to the Soviet Union.
Oh, do you want to talk to me about that?
No.
Why not?
Because you'd pass the information to the CIA, and they'd bust a gut to get me extradited and put on trial.
We haven't even told the Americans that you've come over to us, and there are no circumstances where we would let you be extradited anywhere.
If I talk, what becomes of me? How do I live?
Provided you have really cooperated with us to the very best of your ability, you will be given a new identity and a British passport. You'll be paid a pension that will allow you to live comfortably, and if what you tell us has an ongoing significance, you'd be paid as a consultant to the organization. Oh, and you'd have a code name.
And my safety?
There's been no sign of any KGB activity directed towards you so far.
Of course not. What I have to tell your people, the men in Moscow don't even know about it. So, if I tell you and you deal with the problem, they will realize who has given you the information. They would spare nothing to get their revenge on me.
Listen. You know, Igor, whether a man is CIA, KGB, or SIS, if he is very senior, he always feels that his current operation is the most important item in the organization's program. We all feel like that. Are you sure that you're not exaggerating in your own mind what you have to tell us?
I am quite sure.
So tell me.
When I'm ready, I'll tell you.
All right. Tell me about John Walker and how you ran him.
Tomorrow we'll talk about it. A little.
Hello.
Tony! It's Tony Ramshaw!
Hello! Hi!
Come on in. Play us a tune, Tony, please.
I can't stay long.
Oh, please.
I just came in to wish you a happy birthday.
5 minutes, Tony, just 5 minutes.
Oh. Thank you.
No, I really must go, Diana.
One last one. That one you always play. Deep purple.
Oh, yes.
Renshaw's always been a popular fellow. How did he get on with his father? I always saw Sir Arthur as a bit of a diehard.
Oh, he was in some ways, but...
I don't understand you, Tony. I really don't. It's your money. Okay, it's a trust. That doesn't stop you from taking an interest in how it's doing.
It doesn't interest me, Father.
Your grandfather would turn in his grave if he heard you say that. At least Charlie looks after his money.
Charlie needs the money. He's got a wife and two kids and a lifestyle to live up to.
When are you going to get yourself a wife, boy? Oh. You've had some very nice girlfriends, good backgrounds and good looking, and any one of them would jump at the chance of marrying
you. I doubt it, Pa. I like them all, but I don't want them hanging around every hour of my life.
Mm-hmm. You could be right, son. But your mother would like to see you settle down.
Is that why she has invited the Mercers over for dinner tonight? A nice moonlight walk with the sweet Mary.
I hadn't thought of it like that, but you might well be right.
Mm.
How's the job going? Still knocking those bloody reds for six?
Oh, we bowl them the odd bumper every now and again.
What do you make of this Gorbachev fellow? Think he'll last?
Oh, who knows? If Maggie can last, he can. But battering down an old established bureaucracy isn't all that easy.
Do you want to join the shoot tomorrow?
Oh, no, thanks. I'm going back to town.
You lost interest in shooting?
I never really had an interest, Pa. I find it revolting, to put it mildly.
Mother used to say that. I thought she was just having a dig at me. Well, takes all sorts. We'd better go and freshen up a bit for dinner.
Why are you looking at me like that, Tony?
Oh, the usual reason.
Tell me.
Because you are young and happy. And very pretty. And you look like a Pre-Raphaelite painting.
I thought Pre-Raphaelite girls were always lying dead in love.
Only one.
What are you going to do now you've graduated?
I don't know. What would you suggest?
Look, what did you read?
Economics.
Well, if I were young and beautiful and I'd read economics, I'd want to compare all the theories with the practice. So I'd go to the United States and Tokyo, see how capitalism works, and then maybe the Soviet Union and Cuba, and check on how socialism works.
Not get married and have children.
I've always felt that children are very unrewarding. 5 or 6 years of pleasure, and then they hate you. And as for marriage, well, we all know how that ends up these days.
Marriage even starts off with a lie.
Tell me more.
You promise to love someone for the rest of your life. That's crazy. It's not only crazy, it's patently impossible. I like Swinburne's poetry and Jerome Kern's melodies and playing the piano. I wouldn't promise to even like them, let alone love them for the rest of my life.
What about your mother and father and mine? They love one another.
I wouldn't dream of commenting on your parents. My parents? Well, they're like rocks that have been grinding against each other for a million years. They're worn smooth by sacrificing their original shapes. They're a prime example of the vices and virtues of a hung parliament.
Don't you love them?
I admire how they've stuck together all these years.
But you don't love them?
No. I don't even like my father.
Why not?
He's a snob. And a bully. And he's selfish. He's also quite fearless and physically brave. But that's because he lacks imagination.
How long have you thought like this?
Since I was about 19 or 20.
Have you ever loved anybody?
I nearly did once.
Didn't it work out?
Something diverted me away from it.
Do you make love to girls?
You mean have sex with them?
Yes.
Yes. I rather like that.
Do you want to have sex with me?
I rather hoped you'd let me.
Is that why you brought me down here?
I'm afraid it is.
Where shall we go?
There's a summer house at the end of the lake. We could go there.
What was Moscow's reaction when Yakunin disappeared?
They assumed at first that he'd defected to the CIA. The usual flak from their embassy in Washington. Denials from the Americans. The next thing is another KGB man walks into West Central Police Station.
Right, sir. How can I help you?
My name is Belinsky, Janos Belinsky, KGB, First Directorate, Department S. I want to defect.
Where were you based?
In Paris.
So why have you come here?
I speak better English than French, and I was previously concerned with operations in the United States.
Uh-huh. Which part of the States?
New York.
United Nations or illegals?
Illegals. No contact with our UN people.
I'll need to check your bag and an officer will search you. You agreeable to that?
Whatever you want.
Fletcher.
David, Tony Renshaw. Sorry to wake you in the middle of the night. Do you know the safe house near Southampton?
Yes.
Good. I want you to go down there right away. There's been another walk-in.
Mm-hmm.
A KGB major named Bielinski. I've had a quick chat with him, but I want you to take over his official debriefing.
What do we know about him?
Not much. You'll be virtually starting from scratch. Drop everything else. I think this could be very important.
Let's sit down in the sun for a bit, shall we? See those ruins over there? That's Bayham Abbey. Did you have any contact with the people who ran agents in England?
I wondered how long it would take to try that on. The same old routine, the one question that really matters, hiding among the chit-chat so it won't be noticed, yes?
Fair enough. So what's the answer?
They consulted me from time to time when I was in Moscow, told me about the problems and asked for my views.
What kind of problems?
The problems of an area where they felt they had too much success, like they had with me. Was it all too good to be true? This was their man in the SIS. He was a jewel in a crown. All the checks and counter-checks said that it was genuine. But if the other side were playing games, that's how they played anyway. A little bit of disinformation wrapped up in a mess of middle-grade genuine information. A pearl in the dross from time to time. But always that worry on the receiving end. Was he our man or had he been turned again? The triple agent. There's a problem if the man is right at the heart of the system.
What particular problem?
If he's really at the top, the most important stuff you get won't be documents or facts, but opinions. His opinion. And that's not the part that really matters.
What matters is his interpretation of decisions in cabinet meetings. His views on the Prime Minister's inner thoughts on a meeting with Gorbachev. Who in the opposition or the peace movement can most influence the media and public opinion? He could be genuinely mistaken in his assessment. Or he could be passing on what his controllers fed him.
Did you have a solution?
I asked them to describe the man, his background, his life, his work. Why was he helping us? Why did he say he was helping us?
And?
They did all that. He seemed okay to me. But they still weren't completely happy. In the end, I said the only way was to let me meet the person. But they refused. Said nobody apart from his controller had ever met him.
Tell me how they described him.
You're crazy if you think I'm going to tell you that until I'm satisfied about you and your people.
Okay, all right. I'm going up to London tonight. I'll see you again tomorrow. Is there anything you want?
There's a book I'd like.
What is it?
Bertrand Russell's History of Western Philosophy. And some English magazines.
All right. I'll see what I can do.
Tell me about the girl. Hoggart's girl. Was she important?
She was to Hoggart. They'd got a lot in common. Have you ever been to Marlborough Street?
You mean the court?
Yes. I guess that's where it started, in a way. It was a good few years back.
Jacqueline Lovegrove, your charter on the 28th of June, you were loitering in Curzon Street with intent to solicit for prostitution. How do you plead?
Guilty, my lord.
How old are you?
18.
You don't look 18 to me. I'm going to remand you for 14 days. You will not be in custody, but you must cooperate with a probation officer and appear again in this court in 14 days' time. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
I've read all the reports, Helen. Tell me what you think.
The only facts I've got are that she lied in court about her age. She's not 18. I couldn't get it out of her, but she's definitely underage. And a clear case of incest by the father.
Has he been interviewed by the police?
No. She swears she won't testify against them.
And you think the mother knows, but doesn't care?
Oh, I'm sure she knows.
I think I'd better talk to Jackie. Can you bring her here tomorrow?
Yes, of course.
Sit down, Jackie. I'm Maggie Castle, senior probation officer. Now, tell me about your relationship with your father.
I ain't going to shop him in court, so don't think I am.
I just want to understand, Jackie. What you and I talk about is confidential. We'd just like to help, if we can.
So what do you want to know?
Well, tell me how it started.
Well, they had a flaming row, him and my mum, and she went to stay with one of her pals. He got into my bed that night and started touching me up. And a few weeks later, he started doing it all the way.
Did you object when he got in your bed?
No. What's the good? When men want it, they're going to have it.
Were you scared that he might knock you about if you refused?
No, he only beats her because she taunts him. He's easy if you treat him right.
Well, I've talked to her, Helen. There's no point in bringing all this out in court. First of all, she'd deny everything, and secondly, she's got it all worked out. Or she thinks she has. And right now, it works. It was incest, all right, but it wasn't a rape. She was a willing partner. And now, she's got him exactly where she wants him. And he's not the only one. She knows more about men than you and I do. She's very pretty. She's got that cute, innocent face. But believe you me, she knows she's got what men want. And she's going to use it.
Are you Nicky Bodoni?
Who are you, kid?
I'm Jackie. Somebody told me you were looking for hostess at your club.
Yeah? How old are you?
17 and 2 months.
You got nice tits for 17, honey.
Do you want to see them?
You ever worked as a hostess before?
Kind of.
Ask me at the door about 11. I'll tell them you're coming.
Come in. Oh, hi, Jackie. Come on, let's have a look at you then. Where'd you get those rags you're wearing?
Portobello Market.
Yeah. There's 250s. Get something classy, kid. Chuck that stuff away. The guys who come in here, I mean, we do. They're not interested in punk girls.
You want to bet?
You're a cheeky little bitch, ain't you?
No, but I obviously know more about what men want than you do, fella.
By the time Hoggart met the girl, she'd been the mistress of a man named Harry Gardner. He was in his early 50s. He was a wealthy gang leader, specialising in high-value robberies. He was tough, ruthless, but with some crude charm. He came back from a trip to Chicago and caught her in bed with one of his underlings and threw her out. And she had a tough time after that, working the Soho clubs. And that's where she met Hoggart.
Hi, I'm Jackie. Are you waiting for someone?
No. Do you want a drink?
Thanks. Can I have a port and lemon?
Port and lemon, Joe, please.
All right, mate.
Why did you smile when I wanted a port and lemon?
Well, it's kind of old-fashioned.
And you don't like old-fashioned things?
What did you say your name was again?
Jackie, and I'm 18.
And you're very pretty too, Jackie. But I expect you've heard that before.
Are you a tits or a legs man?
Don't waste your talents on me, you'd be wasting your time.
Why should I be wasting time?
I'm not a John, kid.
So what? You've got nice brown eyes and a nice voice. There's nobody here but us. Costs nothing to be friendly.
Yeah, you're right, of course. How about another drink?
I'll buy you one. Same again, Joe.
All right, love.
By the way, what's your name?
Tom. Most people call me Tommy.
Cheers, Tommy.
Cheers, Jackie. Hey, have you seen a film called Crocodile Dundee?
No, but I've heard it's good. Have you seen it?
No. Would you like to see it?
What? You mean tonight?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, why not? I'll get my coat.
Renshaw. I'm in a meeting. Ring me in about an hour. I'm sorry, Eddie. Where were we? Oh, yes. Your report on our friend Yakunin.
Well, we're making some progress, but mainly on the States.
Like what?
I've done a written report.
Nothing about his mole in SIS.
Well, he hints at it all the time, but that's all. Says he'll reveal all when he thinks it's the right time.
Oh, they do love teasing us. Makes them feel they matter. Does no harm, I suppose. How about we meet again next week? Same time? Yeah, my office.
David. Have you got a couple of minutes, Eddie?
Sure, yeah, of course.
I showed the photograph you gave me of your guy to Belinsky.
Did you recognise him?
Yes, as soon as he saw him. I hadn't told him who it was, but he said it right away. Igor Yakunin.
Oh, well, I didn't have much doubt about his identity. Did he say anything else?
Yes, it's a bit disturbing.
Tell me.
He said that Yakunin was a fantasist, a kind of Russian Walter Mitty, imagined himself as a kind of James Bond figure.
What was his job?
Well, apparently way back he was in their scientific section, worked on miniature radios and surveillance equipment, but about 5 years ago he had some kind of a breakdown, and he was in hospital for about a year, psychiatric hospital.
What was wrong with him?
Kind of schizophrenia.
Go on.
Well, he was discharged and worked in the same section on equipment used in clandestine operations. A couple of years ago, their guy running illegals in New York wanted a specialist technician for servicing and modifying equipment, and your boy Yakunin was sent over there. Got a German passport and a cover as a German technical journalist.
Uh-huh.
For the last 6 months, he worked on the Fowler case as a technician, and according to Belinsky, he made a cock-up of the whole operation. Fowler was arrested by the FBI.
Yeah, go on.
Yakunin was ordered back to Moscow, and obviously he realised he was in trouble and did a bunk. They think he defected, but they're not sure. If he did, they think he'd have gone over to the Americans rather than us, because he's never been in the UK. In fact, they were just going to retire him, on the grounds that he was mentally unstable. I'm sorry to be bringing bad news.
Do you think he's telling the truth?
I think so. He didn't take it very seriously. He was more amused and critical. But I think with me showing him the photograph, he's rumbled that we've got Yakunin.
You didn't tell him that we'd got him?
No, no, not a word. Yeah, I implied that we were doing a random check on him himself using a picture from our archives. He didn't seem all that interested either way.
What stage are you at with Belinsky?
Well, Renshaw and the others have accepted his identity, and I'm spending most of my time on building up information on the whole staff at his directorate. Yeah, how about your chap?
Well, after what you just told me, I don't know.
Does what Belinsky said fit at all?
It's hard to say. There are markers, you know, both ways. The story he gives has the same background as Belinsky gives, but different interpretations. Mm. It'll mean starting all over again, checking his story from a different angle. But I've got a good relationship with him now that's taken a long time to establish. I don't want to spoil it.
Doesn't matter all that much.
Well, I've got hints of something special he's going to lay on the line when he's ready.
About what?
A KGB plant in high places in SIS.
At least Belinsky hasn't tried that one on me.
Well, Yakunin may be wrong, but I'm convinced that he thinks he knows something big. Big enough to be scared to tell me until I pass some sort of test of his.
Jackie!
What is it, Joe?
This guy Tommy. Who is he? What's he do?
Tommy? He's a real nice guy. Not like the usual creeps we get down here.
Hmm? A lot of our clients don't take to him. Feel he's a bit of a mystery man. Someone suggested he might be undercover drug squad.
Well, they must have guilty consciences.
Mr. Roggett. Mr. Roggett.
What is it?
The Russian wants to talk to you. Says it's urgent.
What time is it?
3:15.
Oh, shit.
What is it, Igor? Why aren't you asleep?
Is it some sort of trick?
What?
This photograph. Why was it with the books and magazines?
Oh, I forgot. I just wanted to ask you if you recognize the man.
And if I do, what then?
Nothing. It's just a routine identification.
You know who he is, of course. The caption calls this man Belinsky. Why?
Well, we understood that was what his name was.
If you have this man, then you and I are finished. No more cooperation of any kind from me.
We have got him, Igor. We've had him for some time.
Ah, and he defected, yes?
Yes.
And he's cooperating in every possible way?
More or less.
He gave this name Belinsky, and you just believed him?
No, we checked on him every way we could.
Where did he say he was operating?
In Paris. We checked on that, too.
His name is not Belinsky, except maybe as part of a cover story for his defection. He's never worked in Paris. He's been once to the United States, and apart from that, he's never been out of Moscow.
Why are you so worried about him?
Why did he say he defected?
I've never talked with him. But from the transcripts, he seems to be saying that he's had enough of the KGB in Moscow. I think he just wanted a better life in the West.
Whatever it wasn't that. First of all, he was a totally committed Soviet. And apart from that, he had every privilege and luxury in Moscow that you could get over here.
Well, who is he?
His name is Lensky. Yuri Lensky.
How come you know so much about him?
He was a very important man, but very few people knew about him or what he did. There were just a handful of men who did his kind of job, and they all did it with the greatest secrecy.
So how did you know about him?
Because a guy I worked for was one of them, Ulyanov. He and Lensky worked closely together, Ulyanov covering the United States, Lensky covering special operations in Britain.
Hang on a minute. You said he'd never been outside Moscow apart from one visit to the USA. How could he control an operation here from Moscow?
It wasn't just a routine operation. He was special. He was full-time on it.
Well, what was the operation?
I told you way back that if they discovered that I knew about this operation, they would kill me. Do you remember?
Yes, yes.
They sent Lensky over to kill me before I talk.
How can they be sure that you haven't talked already?
They know everything that you and I are talking about. Everything. They know I haven't talked.
So talk now and they're too late.
They kill me for revenge. And they kill you too.
Who kill me?
They have men here, you know that already. Not just Russians, but others. Arabs, Iranians, Cubans. People who'd kill for money or support for some revolutionary organization.
Well, how would they know what we've talked about?
I told you they have an agent in place in your organization.
Who is he?
I don't know. I know a few things about him, but I don't know his name.
Well, how long has he worked for Moscow?
At least 10 years, probably much longer. He's the most valuable source they have.
Well, don't tell me any more right now. Let me just think about this.
If you report on it, I shall deny it, all of it. You understand that? It will be my only chance.
All right, let's change the setup, Eagle. Yeah, I promise you, I'm not going to report what you told me to anybody. The chap who's debriefing this Lensky showed him your photograph. And Lensky said you had a reputation for fantasizing your role in KGB operations, and that you played only a minor part in the Walker operation. Now, what's your answer to that?
I've been over it over and over in detail with you. How could I have known so much if I wasn't in charge? Who did he say was actually running it?
The head of illegals based in New York.
No,
The man in New York was only an administrator as far as I was concerned. When Moscow wanted to kick my ass, it was he who did it.
So, we know Lenski was lying. Why?
To devalue anything I said, to make you suspect me of being unreliable.
So either what you know is very important, or he's here for some other reason. And it would help me very much if you just told me more about the man, the mole.
I don't know his name.
Then what do you know?
He's SIS and very senior, and he passes information on SIS anti-KGB operations. And he's senior enough to know about top government thinking.
Oh, that could cover 20 or 30 people, Igor.
I've seen a picture of him. I'd recognize him.
Right. I'll see what I can bring for you to look at. And I'll have a look at Lenski. Evening, Joe. The usual, please. Scotch and a port and lemon.
All right. How's she making out?
Who?
Your girlfriend, Jackie.
Oh, she's okay. In fact, I was expecting her to be here by now.
Do you mean you haven't heard?
Heard what?
She's in hospital. Some jerk beat her up real bad.
What hospital?
Middlesex.
Don't bother about the drinks. It's me, Jackie. It's Tommy. Can you hear me?
I'm scared, Tommy. Before.
Well, don't be scared, darling. Don't be scared. Nothing like this is ever going to happen to you again.
They did it deliberately. Tore me off.
Who did?
I don't know, Tommy. I don't know.
It doesn't matter now. You can be sure it won't happen again. I'll see that it doesn't.
You don't understand.
I do understand, little girl. I understand.
The man who did it said you're an undercover cop. From the drug squad, are you?
No.
Honest?
Honest.
Would you do something that would help me get better?
Of course I would.
Tell me your name. Your real name. It would show that I mattered. That I'm not just a slag.
My name's Eddie. Eddie Hoggart. Right, now listen, I put on two good locks and a bolt. Now just keep the door locked and bolted, and if anyone rings the bell, look through the little peephole and check who it is first.
Can I ask you something personal?
Yes, but I might not answer it. What is it?
Are you gay?
What makes you think I'm gay?
You've taken me places, you've given me meals, you've bothered about me in hospital. You found me this place. But you've never made a pass at me. Why'd you bother with me if you don't want to go to bed with me?
Listen, Jackie. Listen, sit down a minute. Do you remember the barman? You know, Joe, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Well, he talked to me one evening about you. He seemed to know a lot about you.
Like what?
Well, he told me about your old man and what he did to you. And how things turned out for you.
When did he tell you this?
Well, it's before I met you, actually. Maybe a couple of days before. It was only gossip. But I recognised you from the description.
And what was that? Long legs and big tits?
It doesn't matter what the description was. It was the background that mattered.
Oh, sure. Screwed by a dear old dad who pimped for her on the side. Great!
Listen, shh. Why don't you just calm down and shut up? Let me finish.
I don't want to hear about my background. Do you understand?
I just wanted to tell you that I didn't make a pass at you because I thought that somebody who was friendly without wanting to sleep with you might make a change.
And you're the fairy prince, is that it?
No, I'm not, but I... Well, I had a background like yours. And the only person I've ever cared about was kind to me without wanting anything in return. All the others treated me like shit. Like people treated you. And I didn't want to join the others. That's all.
You're a strange man, Eddie.
Why?
I don't know anything about you. I never believe anything that men tell me. But I believe you, what you just said.
I'll pop in to see you sometime tomorrow. Between 7 and 8, all right?
Don't go, Eddie. Stay with me tonight. Please. I want you to.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm quite sure.